Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, our first Monday in October 2021. It is great to be with you today here on the show. I am flying solo here for the first hour. George Kurtz will join us in the second hour. Davis has the day off. Of course, we have Brett Levy producing the show today. Hopefully you enjoyed all the football this weekend. And by the way, all the baseball as well. Yesterday was a really exciting finish to the end of the regular season. And on tomorrow's show, we'll preview the American League wild card for sure between the Red Sox and the New York Yankees. But what can you say? Last night, more or less lived up to, I think, what we were looking for there, which is basically give us drama, give us a close game, and in the end, have it basically come down to the last play of the game, which essentially it did. Very strange, by the way, to see at the end of a football game, Bill Belichick kicking a field goal as opposed to going for it. I know there's some criticism on that today, but I thought Mac Jones looked pretty good in that one. Of course, Tom Brady comes out with the win. And as Chris mentioned here at the top of the hour, a lot of injuries to get into here on the show. We just found out about the one with Joe Mixon having a low-grade ankle sprain. We'll keep an eye on David Montgomery. So back up on Cincinnati, back up on the Chicago Bears as we hit the waiver wire later this week. Let's get to our headlines here on the show as we begin. Tom Brady becomes the fourth quarterback to beat all 32 NFL teams. He also broke the all-time passing record held by Drew Brees yesterday in a very close game yesterday. Thought the Patriots set a blueprint for how to beat Brady. They just don't have the offense, but I thought they did a really good job. How about the winless New York Jets and winless New York Giants getting their first wins of the season, both in overtime? What a bad loss for the Tennessee Titans. In terms of what the Giants did, I thought the Giants played pretty well and not big on New Orleans, as you guys know from watching this show, so that wasn't all that surprising. But Jets in overtime, stopping Derrick Henry as much as they could. Henry got like 30 carries in that game, but Zach Wilson played pretty well. We'll hear from the head coach, Robert Saleh, coming up a little bit later in the show. If you played against Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday, I am sorry, you probably lost, because that was completely unexpected. And he's a major part of what Atlanta is doing this season, that's for sure. Tyreek Hill also had 3 touchdowns yesterday. Not a huge surprise for Hill, but for Patterson, worth a deeper dive into the week as to exactly why Arthur Smith has decided to make him the focal point of the offense this season. I don't think I heard that at all going into the fantasy football season. Yankees and Red Sox clinched the American League wild card. Really all the games went down to the end. The Blue Jays just absolutely hammered the Baltimore Orioles. And it looked like Seattle was going to be out pretty early on in that game. But what happened was the Yankees went right down to the end. Red Sox were losing. They came back to win. And so, we're getting basically not as much craziness as we thought, because it just ended up being the wild card game. But make no mistake about it, tomorrow night's game, in all likelihood, the highest rated regular season, or actually postseason game, in all of 2021. We'll see if it does better than the Field of Dreams game, but I'll definitely be watching that. And also in the National League, San Francisco wins the NL West, which means the Dodgers capture the wild card, and they will take on the St. Louis Cardinals on Wednesday night, and the team there will end up winning and then moving on. No Clayton Kershaw, looks like, for the postseason as well. A couple of other takeaways for me in fantasy yesterday, no question, that the Baltimore Ravens, and I think in one of the more impressive wins of the season, go to Denver and basically take care of business. And also, are we sleeping a little on the Dallas Cowboys' ability essentially to use a lot of different players in that offense and basically not focusing in on CeeDee Lamb almost at all? You had Dalton Schultz, you had Blake Jarwin, you had Tony Pollard. Cowboys defense seems a little bit better, although they were shaky late in the game. But you had two teams yesterday that I talked about on Fantasy Sports Today on the Sunday morning edition of the show that I wasn't really sure about. And one of them was Dallas, for sure, taking on Carolina, who we all thought was very good. And I still think they're good, but they lost. And then the other team, obviously, was the Denver Broncos. And once Teddy Bridgewater went out of the game, it went from basically slim to none. And those of you with Bridgewater definitely should be looking at a backup option this week, not named Drew Lock, most likely, because the Ravens just essentially smack them down. Interesting that about 20 minutes before the game began, the Ravens declared Tyson Williams inactive. So he'll be either a cut or a bench for those of you in fantasy this week. And for sure, key adds coming in at running back. For the first time this season, especially if Mixon and Montgomery don't play, for the first time on the waiver wire this year, you may actually be able to pick up a starter at running back because of these injuries. If Williams is not owned in your league, and who even knows who Cincinnati's going to go to at this point, they basically have been giving Mixon all the carries. So that's kind of where we stand here on this Monday. But coming up next, it's time for us to jump right into our fantasy standouts. A lot of surprises yesterday, not as many as we've seen in the first 3 weeks of the season. Some of the favorites actually coming through. But one of the bigger surprises, no question, the New Orleans Saints laying 7 points on Sunday to the New York Giants. And how the Saints are favored by 7 points in any game this season is kind of a miracle. The Giants basically come out of that win. Daniel Jones with one of the best games of his career. We'll break down all the fantasy ramifications from that. Also, a little bit later in the show, we'll hear from Jacoby Brissett, the Miami Dolphins quarterback. We'll also hear from Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. And what a great game for the Washington football team. And
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Taylor Heineke coming back all the way to win as they beat the Atlanta Falcons. So thanks for joining us here on the show. We're off and running here on this Monday. We'll go through the fantasy standouts, and I will give you the breakdowns for what I think happened in the games that I watched yesterday, which pretty much were all of them. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today in just 2 minutes. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Nish back with you here. And lots going on yesterday, of course, in fantasy. To give you an idea of my day, a little bit of golf in the morning, a little bit of baseball practice in the afternoon, and then mixing in the rest of the NFL games. But the good news, with baseball, by the way, but the good news is I spent a good amount of time watching a lot of these games for you guys yesterday. So I want to dive in here to the fantasy ramifications of it. Also talk a little of who covered and who didn't, certainly, because I'm involved in that. Not the best picking weekend for me, I will say, this weekend. Not the best. In fact, of the 4 weeks thus far, yesterday was probably the toughest of the season, because when the public wins, I lose. And that's what happened, and with the exception of Tampa Bay winning last night. But one of the games that was not a popular pick for anyone was basically determining that the not only the New York Giants were going to win in New Orleans, win yesterday, but also just basically dominate the second half and overtime of this game against the Saints. Go figure. So Daniel Jones yesterday threw for over 400 passing yards, basically a 25 to 30 point fantasy day for him. He's been really good in fantasy, maybe not so much in reality, but he threw for 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. It was almost like the Giants gave us all the things that we were waiting for before the season, because Saquon Barkley scored twice, 52 rushing yards, but 5 receptions, had a long receiving touchdown for 74 yards. And maybe it's just going against one of these subpar teams. I don't know. Kenny Golladay back on the scene. 6 receptions, 116 yards for him. Even Kadarius Toney got involved in the action. And then a very key play late in the game. As remember John Ross. Remember him from the Cincinnati Bengals? 3 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Maybe the Giants have found an extra weapon. No question that the Giants, one of the big shocks of the weekend. Not so much as you would cover, but a 7-point dog winning outright on the road. This doesn't happen all that much. But again, it is the New Orleans Saints, and they're not very good. And Jameis Winston is not very good. 17 of 23 yesterday, 226 passing yards and a touchdown. Taysom Hill came in and basically just didn't do much except for just vulture some of the touchdowns that the Saints scored. 28 rushing yards and a couple of receiving yards. He had 2 scores, 9 passing yards. That's not great. Alvin Kamara is getting hurt by this offense, and I do not feel overly optimistic that that's going to change. He had 120 rushing yards. Deontay Harris had 5 catches and also had 52 receiving yards. Not to mention, by the way, not pictured here, Marquez Callaway, who I had to play in a fantasy league yesterday, was like actually okay. Like, I don't want to play Callaway again if I don't have to this season, and he definitely is not going to reach what we thought based on the way that this New Orleans offense is going. But he was somebody that I threw in yesterday, ended up getting 10 fantasy points, and I'm hoping to get 2 wins in fantasy this week. So takeaway from this game in particular, if the Giants are throwing the deep ball and finding Tony and finding now John Ross all of a sudden, hopefully that means good things for Saquon Barkley, because thus far, this was the best game that he's had thus far this season. And in the side of the Saints, we talked about this before the year. Can they get to even 8 wins this year? I don't know. I think that they really made a big mistake just handing the reins over to Winston. Meanwhile, their defense that had been so good in that opening game against the Green Bay Packers now showed yesterday against the Giants that you could probably play players against the Saints, which wasn't something that I thought a few weeks ago. I thought they were really good defense, sort of inept on offense, but good enough to get you some fantasy points from some of your players. Alvin Kamara, you look at after 4 weeks, grading out as what, the 17th best running back in fantasy football, and I would not buy low on Kamara. It's been a disappointing start. We'll see if the Saints can get right in the upcoming weeks. But, of course, you got to play him. You drafted him very high. Okay, the Indianapolis Colts and Miami Dolphins, one of the worst games played on the board yesterday at halftime. This looked like a complete dud, but you got a lot of fantasy points in the second half of this one. We'll start with the Colts. Carson Wentz needed this game so badly, and he got it. 24 of 32, 228 passing yards. Also had 2 touchdowns, by far his best game this season. Jonathan Taylor was also solid, 100 rushing yards. He just basically kept running the ball to keep the Dolphins off the field. Dolphins would go 3 and out. They'd give the ball back to the Colts. Michael Pittman Jr. had 6 receptions and 59 yards. And I cannot imagine that anybody outside of some deep league or even DFS played Mo Alie-Cox, who had 3 receptions, 42 yards and 2 touchdowns. He was basically the tight end star of the day in fantasy football yesterday. Now, on the side of the Dolphins, things have just gone from bad to worse. Their offensive line cannot block. Jacoby Brissett, they are just not allowing him to throw deep. And we're still going to have to wait at least 2 more weeks until Tua Tagovailoa comes back. Brissett yesterday, 20 of 30, 199 passing yards, and all of these were in the fourth quarter when they were trailing by 20. 8 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 in garbage time that didn't really matter. Miles Gaskin was a complete non-factor. Malcolm Brown had 23 rushing yards in this game. Devontae Parker, the leading receiver, 4 receptions, 77 yards and a touchdown. And Mike Gesicki, whether it is regular time or garbage time, continues to play well. He may be the one consistent option that you can play on the Dolphins. Otherwise, you really can't play much. And quarterback Jacoby Brissett, clearly very frustrated after the game. I mean, there is some, you know, sentiment that maybe he shouldn't even start the next game for the Miami Dolphins, although they don't really have much of a choice.
For sure, it's frustrating. You know, and it's all on us. And we're putting our defense in bad situations and things of that nature. But, yeah, it's frustrating, you know, and we just got to find a way to stop the bleeding, you know, and focus and concentrate and really just start to really take it one play at a time and repeat that cycle over and over again.
Yeah, not much hope there for Miami, of course, all the Deshaun Watson rumors and everything else happening. Very vanilla offense, not all that creative, which is a surprise given the fact that they had a lot of weapons going into the season. Unfortunately for Miami, they did lose Will Fuller in this game yesterday, too. We'll have to see. I mean, Fuller is no stranger to the injury bug. We'll see if he's able to play. Not much from Jalen Waddle there. The good news was on the side of the Colts. Even if the Colts are really not a very good football team this season, they still may be okay for fantasy, provided they don't start off like 2-10. So this win sort of ensures that they can kind of stay in the mix and still stick with what they do. Taylor's 100 yards and a touchdown was really needed because, of course, he got off to a really slow start. And I also, if I'm not mistaken, T.Y. Hilton is set to come back soon for the Colts, so maybe they'll get an offensive upgrade there. Also, a little bit of a dud in fantasy for Cleveland and Minnesota yesterday, especially on the side of the Vikings. Cleveland did okay. Baker Mayfield yesterday threw for 155 passing yards, but that was not the performance you thought you would get. On the side of Nick Chubb, he gave you 100, so 11 fantasy points from him yesterday. That was what you could swallow. Kareem Hunt ended up scoring the touchdown for them, 69 rushing yards, 2 receptions, and then Rashard Higgins had 4 receptions and 63 yards. Odell Beckham Jr. just a handful of catches and was not a fantasy factor in Minnesota. Vikings fall flat on offense for the first time all season. Kirk Cousins threw his first interception of the year. He threw for just 200 yards. Dalvin Cook, I don't know, did not look healthy to me in that game yesterday, and Madison was playing with Cook basically in tandem. So that's a bummer. 34 rushing yards for him yesterday. Justin Jefferson was basically the only playable Viking. 6 receptions, 84 yards and a touchdown. And then Adam Thielen, his first quiet game of the year, 3 receptions, 46 yards. There was some discussion that the Browns defense had taken a step back before yesterday's game. In watching that, I didn't think so. I thought the Browns defense played really well. The Vikings have scored 25 or 30 points in the first 3 games of the season that they've played. So I think you got to give credit to the Browns defense for doing what they did. Concerning, of course, with Cook, to see him splitting with Madison that much. It was really good to see Jefferson, who I know a lot of people have, score a touchdown. And look, if this was the down game for Nick Chubb, you got to really like him moving forward the rest of the season. He basically is getting you 10 to 20 fantasy points in every game that he's playing this season. And this was probably his worst game, I would think, of the season. Coming up next, wild game between Washington and Atlanta. We'll hear from the quarterback of the football team.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you guessed the Washington football team Atlanta Falcons game on Sunday would have been the wackiest game played, then you would have got that one correct, because that was not something that I anticipated, with 60 points basically being scored by these two teams on the field on Sunday. Now, Atlanta looked really good early on in this game, but their defense just completely collapsed in the end, courtesy of J.D. McKissic and Terry McLaurin. Let's take a look at the fantasy standouts from the game yesterday, as Taylor Heinicke comes back to help the Washington football team win. 23 of 33, 290 passing yards, his best game as a pro. 43 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, 2 very late. Antonio Gibson basically is bailing you out with these touchdowns, but it has just not been a great start for him. 63 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 12 yards, and a score. So, I mean, I guess you can't complain if you have a running back that's healthy and playing at this point. That's basically what he is. J.D. McKissic still continues to get the third down, still continues to get the targets out of the backfield. 5 receptions, 44 yards, and the key touchdown in this game. If that wasn't it, then maybe it was Terry McLaurin, who went back to his like old beast days yesterday that we saw last year. 6 receptions, 123 yards, a diving touchdown in the end zone at the end of the game, also scored a touchdown previously in the game and scored. And there's just no question that while Washington's defense has been a big disappointment, their offense, even in back-to-back weeks, in a big loss to Buffalo and in a win over the Atlanta Falcons, has probably been better than what most people thought. And their quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, says when you have those weapons like Terry McLaurin and J.D. McKissick, you got to use them.
I saw Terry in the back of the end zone wide open. And when you have a guy like Terry, you want to give him a shot to make a play. He makes plays days in, day out. So I kind of threw it up to him, you know, let him do his thing. And, you know, fortunately enough, he came down with it. And then that last one to J.D., we had a flood concept where we had four guys going to the left, and they did a good job of covering it. And J.D. kind of slipped through the line and went to the right when there's no one there. So initially I thought, hey, this is great. It's going to give us better field goal position. He broke that first tackle, and then he kind of Superman in the end zone, which is huge for us. If you kind of look at it, that made the Falcons have to go score a touchdown. So little things like that, those guys just making big plays. I'm very fortunate to have those guys in there.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a huge game. And again, back-to-back weeks with scoring three touchdowns or more for the Washington football team. So even if their defense doesn't play well, you probably can flex out McKissick, hope for the best for Gibson, but McLaurin becomes obviously has been a must-play now for a couple of years and still continues to be that. Now, the good news is that in a shootout, of course, you're going to get points from Matt Ryan if you played him yesterday, because he threw four touchdown passes, dialing it back up from the past, although he was just 25 of 42, 283 passing yards. The surprise of the fantasy football season, without a doubt, has been Cordarrelle Patterson, who continues to be a major part of what Arthur Smith is doing in Atlanta. No one saw this coming. Three touchdowns yesterday, five receptions, 82 yards. He also rushed for 34 yards. He scored the week before. So, I mean, I guess Patterson is a must play now in fantasy. That was not something that I saw before the season. And Mike Davis has just been a complete bust, although he did score yesterday. So you got your 10 fantasy points from Mike Davis. Not great. Calvin Ridley quiet in a game that Cordarrelle Patterson scores three times. I don't see that changing. I don't. I mean, we're 4 weeks in now, and Ridley has just not looked the part of a wide receiver one in fantasy, or even a wide receiver two. So he gets 15 points yesterday. Of course, it will just never get any easier for the Falcons, because most of the teams that they play are going to be better than them. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But Patterson has to be now, if he's not added in any fantasy league by now, you got to pick him up. I'm guessing he's going to be 90% owned. Dallas Cowboys and Carolina Panthers, a game that very early on looked like the Panthers could stay in. The Cowboys offense just continues to be dynamic and using a lot of different weapons. And yesterday, Dak Prescott rewarded his owners both on FanDuel and in season-long leagues with four touchdown passes yesterday. Also rushed, looked pretty good running, by the way, 35 rushing yards. Ezekiel Elliott, 143 on the ground, also, I believe, had a 40-yard run in this one, scored a touchdown. Amari Cooper, the recipient of one of Dak's touchdowns. Also Dalton Schultz, and if I'm not mistaken, Blake Jarwin also scored yesterday. Schultz, six receptions, 58 yards, and a score. I know everyone was upset that CeeDee Lamb had a bad game. Probably, one in the season. Probably not going to happen again. But yesterday, the game script sort of said, throw it to the tight ends. And so Schultz and Darwin were the recipients of those. Cowboys led very big in this game. Carolina started coming back a little bit. And that's kind of what led to the game going over the total and being as close as it was. In fact, had Carolina stopped Dallas with 2 minutes to go at the end of the game, they would have got the ball back down eight, maybe with a chance to win. Sam Darnold leads the Carolina Panthers in rushing touchdowns. He scored a couple of more times yesterday, and very clearly is much better with the Panthers than he was with the Jets. So Joe Brady doing wonders yet again. He'll be a coach next year for sure. 301 passing yards, 35 rushing yards, four touchdowns, but he did show his Jets wear, throwing two big interceptions in this game, probably cost them. Chuba Hubbard wasn't used maybe as some people thought he would be yesterday, and who knows with McCaffrey coming back what happens, but it looked pretty good, I thought, 57 rushing yards, but didn't hit pay dirt at all in fantasy. Rodney Smith was a surprise yesterday as he rushed five times for 48 yards, so perhaps he's someone we need to look at. But the star once again on the side of Carolina, no question, wide receiver one with a bullet, it is DJ Moore. Eight receptions, 113 yards, and two touchdowns. One of the top three wide receivers in fantasy football as we speak.
And Moore has just been unstoppable in every game that he's played in. He's got the connection going with Sam Darnold. We're 4 weeks in. Robbie Anderson still does not show up on our fantasy standouts. Moore is one of the very few players right now at wide receiver that I don't even think that you could consider trading, because, I mean, who could you possibly get back even at running back that would give you that value? As far as Dallas is concerned, they look legitimately better than they did last year. Dak is playing very well. They were up big, so that therefore he only needed to throw 22 times in this game. Clearly the script will be better for CeeDee Lamb and even for Amari Cooper, who, by the way, left the game with a hamstring issue and then came back in the game later to score a touchdown. All right, Matt Nagy spoke earlier today, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, and he says that Andy Dalton is his starting quarterback when he is healthy, and that could be this coming week. This past week, it really didn't matter because the Lions just simply put kept giving the Bears the ball over and over again. Fumbles, interceptions, failed fourth downs. But given it was one of my favorite picks of the week, I was happy to see it come through. Justin Fields, 11 for 17, 209 passing yards, 9 rushing yards. Didn't look fantastic. Of course, the big story today is David Montgomery, who looks like he's probably not going to play this coming week. So you'll have to make an adjustment. And that's a shame because he had over 30 fantasy points. Damian Williams is going to be the big ad for people who are playing in like shallow leagues. I know that he's owned in both of the leagues that I'm in. He rushed for 55 rushing yards, also caught 2 balls out of the backfield. Of course, Damian Williams pretty good with Kansas City, pretty good with Miami. My guess is, given the nature of the way that the Bears run their offense, Damian Williams is going to be a big part of it. But how about Darnell Mooney? Allen Robinson, just a couple of catches. Mooney was the guy for Justin Fields, which definitely is something to watch. If Fields continues to start, that seems to be questionable at this point. But no doubt, Damian Williams is going to be the hottest name if he's unowned in your fantasy league. And if you're playing in one of those leagues where it's like first come, first serve, you should just like log in right now and pick him up and not wait, because there's simply no reason to. Detroit, well, they were down 14-0 in this game. And so you would have thought that perhaps DeAndre Swift would have gotten some decent points, maybe Jamal Williams, because usually when you're down, that's what happens. But really wasn't the case yesterday. Not all of this was Jared Goff's fault. Again, they failed on a fourth down. They had a fumble. Goff threw for 299 yards, also rushed for 80. He threw 2 touchdowns. Can't really complain there. Trying to predict which Lions receiver ends up getting most of the catches is almost impossible, but Quentin Cephas, who I suppose going into the game looked like the best option, got you 12 fantasy points. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 6 receptions, 70 yards. And then another key name that we'll be looking at on the waiver wire this week for sure is Khalif Raymond, who had 3 catches and 2 touchdowns in this game, including a very short touchdown as well. So he had 3 catches for 46 yards. But really the story from Bears Lions is as follows. Bears at home playing against teams that aren't that good in that weather, when they're playing this super conservative, run the ball a million times offense, are probably going to get you fantasy points from their running backs. I think that the Bears running back position, whoever it ends up being, if it's Montgomery when he comes back, if it's Williams when he plays now, remember, Tariq Cohen not healthy. So still remains a possibility that you could be looking at an RB1 at the end of the season if you combine both the numbers of Montgomery and Williams at the end of the year. Now, Allen Robinson, of course, is the flip side of this. I mean, you have to be really worried with the way that the quarterbacking situation is going with Chicago, that he could not have a big impact this season. Also, before the season, we talked about Cole Kmet. Look, when you're throwing the ball 17 times in an NFL game, it tells you all you need to know. So the idea that Fields is going to be some star maybe next year or the year after, but that's simply not happening. On the side of Detroit, they're now 0-4. You know, they played competitively in virtually every game. This was the least competitive game that I've seen the Lions play in, but they are playing shockingly aggressive under Dan Campbell. Some people thought that they would just be running the ball. That has not been the case. They went for it twice on fourth down. So that does bode well for their future and bode well for fantasy. But for this year, the Lions are set to lose a lot of games. And when you consider that Houston has a win and the Giants have a win and the Jets have a win, guess who doesn't once again? The Detroit Lions. More fantasy discussion coming up next. Kansas City and Philadelphia on the next. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
We got Monday Night Football coming up, and if you want our picks, opinions, and basically tips on how to play this from a fantasy perspective on FanDuel or even bet the game tonight, why don't you follow us on Twitter, because we're talking about it all day long on SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. So just follow those handles on Twitter, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV, for the latest news, notes, and information, giving you the edge in fantasy and sports wagering as well. We've got In-Game Live, of course, coming up later today. We've got Scott Farrell getting you ready for this matchup. The Raiders are just one of two teams that are still undefeated in 2021. The other team, the Arizona Cardinals. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. Okay, surprising maybe that the Kansas City Chiefs are not undefeated, but they're undefeated in fantasy, aren't they? Like, they just always deliver fantasy goodness, and yesterday, no different, as Patrick Mahomes threw 5 touchdown passes for you yesterday. Did throw a pick, so he lost some points there. But look at this efficiency, 24 of 30, 278 passing yards. A huge day. Played against him in one league. I'm lucky to win if I do. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 2 back-to-back games with Helaire giving you 20 points in fantasy. Wow, 100 yards, 2 receptions, and a touchdown. Darrell Williams also involved in the game plan, 42 rushing yards, 2 receptions, and a score. And the top receiver in fantasy yesterday was Tyreek Hill. 11 catches, 183 yards, and 3 scores. If you played against him yesterday, unless you had Patterson maybe on the other side, you probably did not win. The Eagles didn't necessarily disappoint in terms of fantasy. Now, their running backs certainly have been a mess, and it's hard to figure, you know, what is going on there with the two guys that they have back there. But regardless, Jalen Hurts was 32 of 48. 387 passing yards, 47 rushing yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's a fantastic fantasy day for sure. Where is Miles Sanders in this offense? No one seems to know. Kenneth Gainwell, though, did play quite a bit yesterday in garbage time. Got 6 receptions, 58 receiving yards, and a touchdown. Also rushed for 31. Nice game for Devonta Smith. Bounced back after last week's quietness. 7 receptions, 122 receiving yards. Zach Ertz has been pretty solid this year, all things considered. 6 for 60, 12 fantasy points, and Dallas Goedert got in the end zone for Philadelphia. So, look, whenever you play against the Chiefs, the good news is that the other side, like the Eagles in this side, are going to end up helping you, because you know that the Chiefs are going to end up scoring a lot of points. What did we really learn from this? Chiefs defense still not all that great. You basically are still playing the same players you were, but Edwards-Helaire is clearly somebody that seems to be picking up steam a little bit. It's been over a year since we thought that, but back-to-back 20-point games in fantasy, maybe all of a sudden he is picking up. Also, I don't know that Kenneth Gainwell is a starter yet in fantasy, but it is very obvious the Eagles have fallen out of favor with Miles Sanders. And look, I know you'd be selling him right now for 20 cents on the dollar, but what have you seen thus far through 4 weeks? Probably not even a startable player at this point. Good news for Jets fans yesterday. The game was like 8 hours long, it felt like, but at least they get the win in overtime yesterday. Robert Saleh's first win as a head coach. Zach Wilson, 21 of 34. This is his best game by far. 297 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Michael Carter, probably not started by many yesterday, but he had 38 rushing yards and a score. Corey Davis, remember him from week 1? Well, he was back here in week 4. 4 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown. And boy, I saw Jameson Crowder cut in both my fantasy leagues. I wonder if it's time to pick him back up again, because he was great yesterday. 7 receptions, 61 yards, and a touchdown. Always fantastic in PPR formats. And guess what? Zach Wilson, who they asked to play a little boring was not so boring yesterday. And the head coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, talked about what he did and how the offense was so successful against the Titans.
He did. He took some checkdowns early. He took what the defense gave early. And, you know, I thought Mike called a spectacular game that, you know, Mike was aggressive in his play calling. There are certain shots that, you know, Mike was going for the jugular the entire game. There's certain looks that he was getting that made him can out of some stuff. But yeah, there's, you know, you take the good with the bad. And, you know, just like one loss doesn't define, one win doesn't define. And he's got to get back to it and continue to grow and get better from this.
Good news for the Jets. They will not be winless in 2021. Bad news for the Tennessee Titans. That was an embarrassing overtime loss for them yesterday. And if one team was showed by hurt from injuries on the field on Sunday, it was definitely the Tennessee Titans. Their receivers did not look good at all. But the good news is Tannehill still managed 298 passing yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, in overtime, ended up getting the ball a total, I believe, of 30 rushes between regular time and overtime, 157 rushing yards, two receptions, 20 yards, and a touchdown. Jeremy McNichols got a ton of looks out of the backfield, eight receptions for 74 yards, and Chester Rogers ended up leading all receivers on the Titans with five catches, 63 yards. And Nick Westbrook did not do much in this game, so definitely wrong about that. But I would say this, that they need to get either A.J. Brown or Julio Jones right, because once they're involved in a game where everybody knows that Derrick Henry is getting the ball, and you see that still Derrick Henry ended up having a great game, but it's just it doesn't look like the same team without having anybody viable. And letting go of Corey Davis and not having those two receivers out there, Josh Reynolds did drop a ball I saw in the end zone, so maybe he is somebody potentially that could see some more targets moving forward. But Titans in big trouble, bad defense and offensively with those injuries struggling for sure. Steelers got off to a good start against the Packers, and then the Packers woke up and naturally smacked the Steelers down. We're hearing some talk maybe Ben Roethlisberger could be benched. We'll see if that happens this week. Aaron Rodgers yesterday delivered a 248 passing yard game with two touchdowns. Aaron Jones just 48 rushing yards, three receptions, and 53 receiving yards, because A.J. Dillon was very heavily involved in this one. He had 81 rushing yards, also one catch for 15 yards. And Randall Cobb, go figure this one. Cobb, who Aaron Rodgers reportedly basically told the Packers to go get in order for him to come back, scored two touchdowns yesterday, five receptions, 69 receiving yards. The one name you don't see here is Devonta Smith, who had his quietest game of the season against the Steelers. Now, for Pittsburgh, the question becomes what they look like moving forward, because it is very evident at this point that Ben Roethlisberger, who was headed straight to Canton, Ohio, when he retires, is in his last season with Pittsburgh. He was 26 of 40. 232 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Najee Harris had 62 rushing yards, also had a touchdown and six receptions again. So of all rookies in fantasy, you could say that this guy has delivered for sure. Deontay Johnson played a ton. Of course, no Claypool in this one. So Johnson's best game of the year is nine receptions, 92 yards and a score. And then James Washington, four receptions for 69 yards. Not much there from Juju Smith-Schuster, no doubt. So the Packers just keep rolling along. Pittsburgh is the interesting one here, because there's no question that a transition is going to come. And if you're going into this week and you're reading some of the columns that are coming from the writers in Pittsburgh, it appears evident that along this trend, the Steelers may switch quarterbacks at some point this year. And if they do, all of the offensive viability for Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju, and James Washington is done. If I could get from under those receivers, I wouldn't do that with Najee Harris, but if I could get from under those receivers, I would do it now. I would not wait. If Haskins plays, you know that there's no future there in terms of offense, and who even knows, Mason Rudolph, you know, hasn't shown anything in the past. Steelers are in big trouble, and your fantasy team is in big trouble if you're counting on these receivers for the Steelers. Aaron Jones, just a quiet game. Wouldn't worry so much. Same thing with Devontae Adams. All right, let's move over to Baltimore Ravens. I was fortunately right about this one. Denver, a little bit fraudulent, no question. Lamar Jackson, 316 passing yards. He made a point to get the ball to Marquise Brown, and he came through. So did Latavius Murray, 59 rushing yards and a score. Tyson Williams inactive in this game. Marquise Brown, four receptions, 91 yards and a score. And then James Prochet, who I had never heard of before this game, and I kept asking myself, where is Sammy Watkins? No, the answer was James Prochet. He kept catching the ball, and he had five receptions, 74 yards. So maybe another name to keep an eye on here. And clearly the story of this game was Lamar Jackson's insistence to get Marquise Brown the ball. He did early and often, four receptions, 91 yards. And he talked about how other players stepped up when they did not have Brown last week, and now Brown stepped up this week.
He made catches throughout that game last week. You know, he just already dropped three. He made catches, made key catches for us too during that game. And I always got trust in him. You know, I don't really care about, you know, stuff like that. Things happen in games. Other guys supposed to step up. You know, when your brother's down, other guys step up. Other guys there for him. This week, he stepped up for us. So, you know, we just play ball. Just keep it going.
Yeah, and look, the Ravens, I think, showed what, I mean, you know, what a lot of people thought, which is that they're, which I personally think the Broncos are one of the more fraudulent teams in the NFL. Now, that being said, when you look at the stats here, Teddy Bridgewater in this game wasn't good, even at the point where he got knocked out with a concussion. But Drew Lock, oh boy, Drew Lock was just not showing a lot of confidence in that game once he came in. A lot of sacks, a lot of throwing the ball away. Melvin Gordon, 56 rushing yards. He also had two receptions for 11 yards. And Noah Fant had six receptions for 43 yards and a touchdown. So very similarly to, I think, what we saw with Carolina, which is that Denver and Carolina, probably not both as good as their records would have indicated going into yesterday. But there's, I think, completely different fantasy takeaways from the Panthers to the Broncos. And the thing is that unlike selling high on players on Pittsburgh, on Denver, I just don't think that you'd be able to sell any of these players, because I don't think anybody believes that Cortland Sutton or Melvin Gordon or Teddy Bridgewater, maybe Noah Fant, he could be the one. So you obviously hope that Teddy Bridgewater comes back and he plays, and a concussion is not something usually that will keep you out long term. But as I talked about on the show all last week, Vic Fangio, one of the more conservative coaches in the NFL. I don't know if anybody watched this game yesterday, but the Broncos punted 10 times in this game yesterday, and not all of them were fourth down and nine. I think the Broncos go right back to what we thought they were at the beginning of the season. Nothing would shock me. Long losing streaks, not much fantasy value. But again, unlike Pittsburgh, where you may make a trade by trading Juju Smith-Schuster or trading Chase Claypool with some team that needs a wide receiver, I don't think you're going to be able to sell the players on Denver. So you may just have to keep rolling them out there. And by the way, pray that Teddy Bridgewater comes back this week, because they clearly made the right decision at quarterback there. As far as Baltimore is concerned, I had Tyson Williams in a fantasy team, shocked that he was inactive just before the game, averaging 6 yards per carry. After the game, John Harbaugh essentially said that it was just this week to get Le'Veon Bell more involved and to get Latavius Murray more involved. I don't buy that at all. I just don't think that a team like the Ravens that's poised to win and maybe even win the division is going to let a rookie running back make or break their season. So very worried that at this point Tyson Williams is kind of an afterthought. I'm sure at some point he'll get back into the action, but the fact that they showed confidence to use Le'Veon Bell and to give Latavius Murray essentially every goal line carry tells you that the Tyson Williams era is over basically before it began. Coming up next is time for one of the games that we can go through very quickly, because the Houston Texans had no shot whatsoever against the Buffalo Bills. They just smashed them. But we'll talk about what the Bills did right yesterday and what to make of Houston moving forward. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish. We'll be back in just 2 minutes, so stay on the grid as we continue on here on this Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
And get on the grid, sportsgrid.com.
Welcome back as we wrap up this hour of Fantasy Sports Today. Let's take a look at the biggest blowout of the day yesterday. Boy, this one was ugly. The Buffalo Bills just slaughtered the Houston Texans. This is what I thought Houston was going to look like this season, but it didn't look like that through 3 weeks yesterday, though. Oh, my gosh. Great play, by the way, Buffalo's defense in this game. I got to start figuring out who Houston is playing the rest of the season for sure. Josh Allen threw for just two touchdowns, 248 passing yards. They did not need to do anything. This game was over before it started. Zach Moss, 61 rushing yards and a touchdown, so he got you 12 points. Stephon Diggs got you 20. And then, boy, Dawson Knox has been one of the big surprises at tight end this season, that's for sure. Five receptions, 37 yards, and two scores as the Buffalo Bills keep rolling ever since that first loss to Pittsburgh. What happened there? I don't even know. Okay, now to Houston. And, I suppose Tyrod Taylor coming back will make this team look good because it cannot look worse with Davis Mills at quarterback. He threw four interceptions yesterday, three of them essentially his fault. Mark Ingram, a zero. David Johnson, more or less a zero, 21 rushing yards, three receptions, 27 yards. And then Brandon Cooks is kind of the only viable offensive player on Houston. But boy, it is very intimidating when you are looking at your opponent in fantasy and they have a lot of players on the Buffalo Bills. If they have a stack of the Bills, you just kind of have to worry. And for those of you who are trying to get ahead of the game, go on your waiver wire in fantasy and start picking up the defenses that are going up against the Houston Texans, because it's not about a tank. It's just that what we talked about before the season, in the month of September, teams still believe they have a chance. They have that confidence. This is going to slide very quickly now for Houston into what we thought. They could still win a game or two before the end of the season, but that looked like the worst team in football yesterday, especially offensively, maybe defensively too. Chris has the update coming up here at the top of the hour. And then we'll be back with more. George Kurtz will join me here on the show. We'll dive into the later games and also give you a preview of the Monday Night Football game, courtesy of the Underdog app. So stay on the grid. More FST coming up next, right here on this Monday.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.